Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
People really do kind of have an idea, a deal that, boy, man, if we're going to get pruned of the Lord, you know, he's just going to cut our ears and, you know, slap us upside the head or whatever. And that's not what it's about at all. Not in any way, shape, or form. God's not a communist dictator that's trying to get more production out of his subjects. Are you with me? So it doesn't have that vibe at all. And if there's even any hint of negativism in that, I just encourage you, blow that out of the water. Let me tell you, maybe try to give you a different picture to think about. It's a loving dad. It's a loving father that believes so much in what his child can do that he believes that his child can even go further and farther. Which, that's a whole different paradigm of, I want more production out of you, so I'm going to prune you, clip. It's not that at all. It's any parent that loves their child, and I will say this, any normal parent that's loving doesn't approach their child's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in what? Whatever it is that's kind of their deal. If it's sports during high school years, or if it's a particular sport, or if it's the arts, or if it's academics, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. A loving parent believes in their kids that their kids are capable of more. That's a good deal, right? It's not a negative deal. It's not like, I want you to produce more so you can make me feel good. No, it's not that at all. It's that a loving mom or dad just believes that their kid is great. Don't you believe your kid's the greatest? Amen. If you don't, let's pray for you. Holy smoke. Right? Every one of us, that's a cool thing about parenthood. We just believe that this, I don't know about you, but with all the children we've had, I believe the sky's the limit. And I've wanted to try to get that in them, that they, if they can believe the sky's the limit, how many of you know you got half the battle won, right? And so that idea of pruning isn't so much, it isn't at all this negative, I don't know why I think communist, but it's probably the time I spend in former communist nations, but because that is how it is. We want you can produce more for the state. It's not God. God's deal in wanting us to produce more is because he just believes so much in us. And, of course, he's perfect. And he knows all. So he really does know that we can be more productive. And so here's the difference between us and a peach tree. Or us and a plant. Kind of when you drive up our driveway, there's a row of fruit trees. And on the east side of the driveway. And here's what the peach tree or the pear trees or whatever. I don't walk up to them with my pruning shears, and they don't have the ability to go, no, I'm good. Go on. No, I'm good. I'm producing plenty. They don't have a choice. Right? I'm going to go up to them and with the best of my trained eye, which is not much, I'm going to go up to them and I'm going to try to prune them in a way that they can produce more. God doesn't come up to us and he's going to exact this pruning on us, bless God, whether we want it or not. Because that's where that negative vibe comes from. If you could just use your imagination this way. When he comes to us, his coming to us is with the idea that, you know what? You're doing great. You're my child. I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. And would you like to produce more? Because you can. How many of you know we have the choice to say yes? So if you're taking notes this morning, the first step to being fruitful is to choose to be. Right? Because that is really what's required. If we're going to excel in being fruitful people, when we say, Lord, I choose to be fruitful. So if I say I choose to be fruitful in my family, in the relationship with my spouse, the relationship with my children, all of that, I want to choose to be fruitful in my vocation, my calling in life. As a pastor, I choose to be fruitful in my friendships or whatever. What I'm allowing God to do is, and He does it through His Holy Spirit, I'm allowing God to communicate with me and say, okay, great. Because Lynn, I know you can be a better husband. I know you can be a better father. And let's work on this area. That's the pruning of the Lord. Are you with me? So he's just let's blow that negative connotation clear out of our mind. You know. So God, I want to be I want to be fruitful as a pastor. All right, you can be more fruitful. Never has a child of mine. You know, there's been a lot of sports. Sports has kind of been a part of our lives all my life. But never has a child come to me and said, you know, Dad, could you help me in volleyball? I've never once looked at him and go, no, you're as good as it gets. You're done. The whole world needs to learn from you. What am I going to say to him? Cool. You can get better. Wasn't it wild at the Olympics this year how many world records were broken? Do you ever wonder, just a side note, do you ever wonder where that's going to stop? Seriously. So there was a lot of fruitfulness at the Olympics. In fact, there was a race that was won by a Chinese guy in swimming. He beat the world record by 4 seconds, and here's what's wild. All the commentators had said over the years, this time will never, ever be beat. Guess what? Two other people, the person that finished second and third, both of them beat the world record too. But the Chinese guy blew him out of the water. Guess what? Why did he think he could beat the world record? There's always somebody in the athletic arena. It's one of the great, first of all, just right in front of your face, areas that you can see. You know what? There's somebody out there that believes I can run faster and I can jump just a little bit higher. And guess what? Next Olympics in 2 years in the winter side, there'll be world records broken. Next Olympics, there'll be world records broken. Next Olympics, there'll be world records broken. Why? Because there'll be people that will go, you know what? I just believe I can. How strongly do you believe you can be more fruitful? Raise your hand to this. If you're the best husband in the whole world, raise your hand. I don't know about you, but I believe I can be a better one. Regardless of what Dorette believes, okay? Because she believes I can be a better one. But how many of you know I have to believe I can be more fruitful? And then I have to choose to be more fruitful in that area. Have you shared the love of Christ with everybody in your life and you're done with that? Can you be more fruitful in your communicating who Jesus is and His care and all that? No, not a one of us are. We can be more fruitful in every area. I've, you know, four of our daughters are out of high school and 19 is our youngest. And so I could say, boy, you know, I've done fatherhood. But you know what? I'm their father for the rest of their life. And while my day-to-day impact into their life changes as things change, I'm still their dad for the rest of their life. And you know what? I still got the responsibility of being a great dad for the rest of my life till the day I die. And I can be a better one. Right? I don't have to settle for where I'm at. I can be better. And it'll only benefit my children. Because isn't that one of the things about fruit that's pretty incredible? Fruit, for it to be good fruit, needs to be tasty and not bitter. Right? It needs to be something that, you know, everybody's probably done this to maybe a friend or a child. I've given fruit that I know is not ripe, or I know that's bitter, and I've you know, conned somebody else into thinking it was until they bit into it. But how many of you know, when you bite into it, you'll really know. Proof of the pudding's in the what? It's in the eating. So when people see the fruit of our lives as Christians, what kind of a taste is it? Is it a nutritious taste? Is it something that when they taste into, you know, kind of like that, I don't know if you like peaches, but I love peaches. I love fresh fruit, period. I don't know of a fruit. Are there any fruits I don't like? I don't know if there is. Crab apples, yeah, whatever. There's a lot of crabapple Christians. Have you ever bitten into one? Kind of look like they might be good. And have a hint of apple. But a whole lot of bitter. But anyhow, that's a whole other side note. I loved, our pear trees are just going berserk in fruitfulness. And I tell you what, to bite into a vine or a tree ripened pear that's just fallen on the ground, I like to go up and just kind of bump the tree. And when one hits the ground, wash it off, make sure there's no bird poop and stuff on it. But then you just bite into it and let the juice just run down your... Just let it run down your lips. And you just stand there and you go, man, this is just good. Yeah, just a slice of heaven. Or a watermelon that's just there. You just go, wow. That's what we want to strive for as believers when other people taste of the fruit of our life. That when you bite into it, it's like, wow, it's even better than it looks. We had the privilege Wednesday, Brother Bierman, my pastor that I grew up with my whole life, was here. We were in Shoshone at Oasis Christian Fellowship, just had a great night there. But anyhow, we had Brother and Sister Bierman over at our house Friday night for a barbecue, and they spent the whole evening with us. And our family just got to, you know, he's like a dad to me. But I can say this for our whole family, tasting of the fruit of their lives that we got to spend time with them was just like eating the best piece of ripened fruit. It's even better than it looks. And that's the idea that we want for our lives. So now I want to just kind of take you through a story, if I could, of kind of the way there's a parallel sort of a thing that hopefully can speak to us. And Pastor Josh, I used you and Jackie this morning, so I won't use you now that you're in here, but... Just as a couple that's just starting out in life. That age group, that's going to be an age group that I'm going to talk about to start this story with. So that, and this story is applicable to the entire body of Christ in America, anywhere in the world, pretty much in any Christian denomination. At that age of life, couples that are that age, just starting out, boy, all of life is ahead of them. Filled with incredible opportunities, right? Just a ton of stuff. And so they start out, and man, they're Christians. They love the Lord, and in the particular local church that they're a part of, they're engaged. They got some other people that are their age, kind of young marrieds, that their age, and the vibe among all of those young marriages is they're in love, and boy, they're just excited, and they're married to the best woman, and they're married to the best guy. But really inside of them, there's also this thing that they really do want to be the best husband, and they really do want to be the best wife. And so they're engaged in God. They're engaged in Bible studies. If they can get together and do something, they're engaged because there's an impetus, and I'm going to put this in the context of our sermon. There's an impetus for them to be fruitful in their marriage. And in this starting out, man, they want to get it right. They want to get it right. And so a few years goes along, and then all of a sudden children come into the picture, and there's a dynamic change when that little baby reaches that home, right? Every dad, it's kind of a wake-up call. It's kind of a wonderful, precious sobering all at the same time. Because there's a God-wired part of men that when that little kid comes into life, it's all right, it's time to get serious now. In terms of, I'm responsible for their care, their upbringing. And the time clock started. Because as long as you keep feeding that kid, they're going to keep growing. Right? And they're going to grow, and school's going to come, and wow. And it's a great wake-up call. It's God's timing for that young man, usually, that causes that young man to go, I better get my head screwed on. Not to say that anybody's head's not on, but if there was ever a time that's an impetus for that young man to get his head screwed on, it's when that little kid hits the deal, right? So that little kid hits their family, and boy, you know, he's in a vocation that he can see his future maybe, and he's the new boy on the block, and he's only been at it for a year or two, and man, but he can see there's a future here, and he's looking at life completely different because he's got little children that are in his care, right? And so another little kid comes along or whatever, and boy, he's wanting to be a great dad, and the mom's wanting to be an incredible mom. So guess what they go to? They go to parenting classes now. They go to Moms in Touch. Is that a group? Right? They go to Moms in Touch groups, and they get together, and the moms kind of get together, and they're all packing their little babies on their hips, and you know, they're Inside, though, they're engaged. They're hooked. They're locked in. Boy, I want to nail this thing. I want to be a good mama. We want to be good parents. And boy, when there's a family seminar coming on, they show up because they want to learn how to be good parents, right? And don't you think there's a special place in heaven for those first children? Because how many of you know they're the practice dummies? Not dummies as intelligence, but for us as parents, when that first kid's like, we've never been down that road before, and so we do a lot of things right, and there's probably some things that we don't. But anyhow, those first kids kind of end up tough. By the fourth kid, it's like, I've been there, done that. Right? Ah, no. You know, when the first kid cried, what do? Well, the world stops. Right? When the fourth kid cries, it's like, oh, shut up. I mean, not really, but it's like, you go, no, that's not a cry. No, they don't need anything. And other parents are going, they're crying. It's like, oh, yeah, but that's a fake cry. That's not, no. Why? Because you learn how to pick out those real cries, right? Okay, that's not spiritual. Has nothing to do with anything. But anyhow, that group of kids are engaged. And they're, if I could say it this way, they're on purpose trying to be fruitful in life. They know they need to be, right? And so they're engaged. They show up to the master vine dresser. And they ask the master vine dresser, oh, help me with my children. Help me be a... And boy, the master vine dresser is in there going, yeah, we can help. Cool, let's deal with this. Let's deal. Okay, great. So then those kids get to those teenage years. And that's usually a pucker moment for a lot of families. They get to those teenage years. And let me just say this, parents, don't... Teenage years can be incredible years for you. Don't buy into that. Oh, when they turn teenager, they're going to get weird and go lost, you know, whatever. No, that doesn't have to. Just like if you got toddlers, don't believe into the deal of, you know, the terrible twos. Why can't it be terrific twos? Just don't buy into the, you know, for me, I've heard my whole life. Yeah, four girls. Boy, I bet it was hell at your house. No, it wasn't. It's been awesome. Boy, a lot of hormones running wild. You know what? It's been awesome. Seriously. Because I just don't believe you have to buy into all the negative side that people sometimes associate with either girl or guy or different periods of life. But I do understand that when teenage years comes, I do understand that there's a lot of changes going on in our teenagers, right? They go through puberty and all that sort of, there is changes that are going on, and there's statistics out there that talk about, you know, during the teenage years is some of those times that can be kind of scary. So this couple A, they're hooked. They kind of approach those teenage years, and it's kind of got their heightened senses, and bless God, they're going to watch which guy looks at their girl. They're going to watch what girl looks at their guy. I mean, they're going to be heightened, and they want to make sure that their kids are involved in youth, and they still show up to a men's breakfast. They still show up to Bible studies, but they're also, they've been at their job for a little while now. They've maybe got 10 years under their belt, maybe 15 years under their belt. And they're coming to that place that the natural side of their life from the things that they've been really striving to be fruitful in are really starting to pay off. Are you with me? So they stay locked in, and they're locked in. The mean age of a person going to church in America today is 42 years old, which means they have teenagers and they have children. Okay? And they're locked. And if you look church-wide all across America, all across the world, but specifically in America, that's the age group that's the most fruitful and the most engaged in this thing called the Christian life. And it only stands to reason. They've got some things ahead of them, but they're locked in. Okay? So then their kids get through school, they get through high school, and if college is in their future, okay, that's another kind of a buck up moment. It's a moment that they're like, ooh, we need to be locked in. There's maybe a little bit more financial pressure now for that. And then certainly if they're a Christian and they're going to a secular school, for the Christian parent, boy, that's when they pray. Are you with me? They pray for their children during all those times, and they just hope to God that their child doesn't take a philosophy class when some PhD blows them out of the water with some whatever, some ethic argument about this, that, or the other, right? If a child in the Christian church in America is going to lose their relationship with God, usually it will be during their 4 years that they went to school. So, here's the thing. That mom and dad, couple A, they're locked in. Bless God, they're praying for their child every day. They're praying for when they're on the phone with them every day. Thank God for cell phones, and it's easier to stay in connection in a lot of ways. And I mean, they're in. And then Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, Miss Wright comes along and poof, they get married. What do mom and dad do? Do they stop being fruitful? No, but there is, in a lot of ways, there's kind of a collective sigh of relief, especially when it's right. It's like, man, the fruits of our being hooked and praying and staying engaged in their lives. Look, honey, that boy, that person that they married, wow. And then this couple now, that's out of this couple, they can look at and they're starting back here again. They're just starting now with that whole dynamic process is going to be, they're going to go through the same cycles. But mom and dad that went from newlywed to now they've got children that are married. Now he's been at his job for maybe 17, 18, maybe even 20 years. And now he can see retirement. How many of you in here this morning are retired? Raise your hand. Raise it high. That's good. Let's give them a hand. Cool. Well done. Way to go. You've put your time in. You've earned it. Great. So that's, he can see that. How many of you are looking forward to retirement? Raise your hand. Some of you couldn't get it up fast enough. Okay, raise your hand. How many of you are looking forward to retirement? I want to look to see who the youngest one is. Oh, there they are. Just turned 25. Looking forward to retirement. Honey, you got a ways. So you get to that point in life, and when you get there, when you get to that deal, if people are looking forward. They got, man, the next 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 years, they're looking forward to retirement. Whoo! Let me just ask you something. Is the person that's 5 years away from retirement as locked in and producing fruit as they were when they started out on day one? That's great. Ooh. A lot of you are going, no. A few of you are going, yes. Statistically, they're not as locked in. And I'll tell you why. Because they've got so much experience under their belt, they're not having to prove themselves anymore. Back here, they're proving themselves. They're putting themselves in a spot that they can get recognized by their employer to get those, you know, whatever it may be, those advancements. You know, they're working hard and all that. But those ones that are getting to the last part of their normal day-to-day work-a-day deal, got to get up, got to be, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. On those last few years, it's kind of interesting how productivity changes. Okay? It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that that's how it is. And so then comes that day that they get their gold watch or whatever it is that they get. They've retired. They've got their nest egg in a spot that they feel like they're whatever. Let me ask this. When people come to that end of their retirement, getting close to their retirement time, they're probably in a whole different mindset into some things that they're not, that they didn't even think about back here. How many of you wished when you were back here you'd have thought about some things that you realize you should have thought about back here, right? So then they retire, and how wonderful that is. How wonderful it is for those of you that are retired that, man, wonderful. You can get up early, you can get up late. Doesn't matter, but nobody needs to tell you when to be anywhere. How wonderful that is. You can maybe pick up some things that you never had time to do or whatever. Here's my point for this whole thing. That very parallel deal is in the same in people's lives age-wise in Christ. So that it's not on purpose, but many Christians have the same retirement mentality when they come to that natural age of retirement. They have that same mentality when it comes to their Christian walk with God and their service of God. What do you mean, Pastor? When that person started out here, back here, if there was a young couple's deal, they were there. Right? Kids come along, now they're in parenting classes, they're there. Then they come to this area, they're there. But you know what? When the children are there, they serve in children's church, right? They lovingly refer to, I've done my time. Okay? When they get to that retirement age, though, in the natural, What's kind of interesting is that spills over in Christian service and Christian walk with God. To where now, if you were to go into the typical mom's class, of which there's the mom's a young mother and young children or whatever, rarely will you find a woman in there over 50 years old. Rarely. Straight across the board. Rarely. Why? Part of it's just natural. Mom goes, I'm not in that world. I'm not in that world. I don't need to be fruitful in that area of life. Been there, done that. Most of the people that serve, I actually don't know all the people that serve in terms of who they specifically are in our children's church. Rarely do you find the bulk of people that serve in a children's church all across America, the bulk of people that serve are young, right? Kind of stands to reason. Their kids in the middle of it. They want to be involved with their kids. Rarely do you find guys that maybe come if they're over 50 or over 40, you know, whatever it may be, that involved in things. And here's the thing that I want to encourage us in Psalms 92. If you're there, go ahead and open it up now, and we want to read the whole chapter. Because here's what I want to just encourage us in. We don't retire ever as a Christian. Ever. Amen? In fact, when we reach in the physical world, when we reach that retirement age and we actually do retire, do you know now we get the gift of something that you can't buy, and it's the most expensive commodity known to man? You get time. And that can be, I'll go one step further, and I believe that should be a time of a completely new and even more fruitfulness in the Christian life. Okay, so let's read here. Psalms 92:1. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man doesn't know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high evermore. For behold, your enemies, Lord, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn, means my life, the totality of who I am. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye has also seen my desire on my enemies. My ear hears my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Look at verse 12. And don't read past verse 12 for the moment. The righteous shall flourish. Everybody say flourish. What does that paint a picture to you? What does flourish look like to you? To me, I see no wilt in the leaves. I see vibrant, just beautiful, just wow. Okay. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Probably the closest thing that we could maybe relate to here. That cedar in Lebanon is kind of, have you ever seen the redwoods? There's an interesting, I don't know all about a redwood, but a redwood grows for its entire life in physical height and dimension. I guess there's some trees that don't do it the same way that they do. But, you know, we got some redwoods in California that are how old? And I mean, they're just still flourishing, okay? Now look at verse 13. First of all, verse 12, let me ask you this. Does it say the young righteous shall flourish? Doesn't say the new tender plants shall flourish? It just says the righteous. So let me just ask a question. How many of you know that's not age specific? How many righteous in here this morning? Not how many of you feel righteous, because that'll always change the dynamic, right? But if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how many of you know you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? So how many righteous in here this morning, right? So the righteous, old, young, doesn't matter. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. This is our scripture that we use for membership. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Flourish brings me a picture of huge fruitfulness. Flourishing means that, man, it's just growing, growing, growing. You know, irrigation. And if anybody has irrigated here, you understand what I'm talking about now. But that point of the pipe that just continually leaks, just a little bit, just a little bit. How many of you know the plants, mostly weeds, around that just flourish? Guess what? You can cut them down. As long as you don't spray them, you can cut them down. And guess what? You come back, they just Just keep growing. Flourish. Our pear trees, I pruned them last year and they're just flourish. Every branch just has all these pears on it. And if the branches could talk, so I'd get this stuff off of me. Because it's just every branch. Our pear trees don't even look like pear trees because they're just bending over, flourishing. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Look at this. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Everybody say old age. Look at that. Look at this. So they shall bear fruit in old age. Now I know some of you might be thinking, oh yeah, well fine, I could squirt out a peach here and there. Are you with me? That's not flourishing like a palm tree. Right? That's not flourishing. They shall still bear fruit. Now look at the next phrase. They. Who's they? The person that's referred to in the first phrase. That will get old. They. Even the old age, they. Look at this. Shall be fresh and flourishing. Not shriveled up. Spiritually speaking. Right? We can flourish until we go. When Brother and Sister Bierman was over at our house, Brother Bierman turns 80 years old this year, and next year Sister Bierman turns 80 years old. And his travel schedule for next year, most 40-year-olds would have a tough time doing it. And I asked Brother Bierman, he and I were talking on the phone, and we were just talking. I said, you know, Brother Bierman, at this age of your life, how do you feel your fruitfulness is? You know what he told me? He said, you know what? I truly believe I'm more fruitful at 79 years old than I ever have been my entire life. That's incredible. Wow. Incredible. And here's the thing. For as we age, okay, let's not take, and if I were to put on just a graph visually, this graph of fruitful, 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 retirement. I'm not saying you retired, folks. I'm not saying you're going downhill. Okay? But if you study involvement in churches, it's exactly the same. The 65-year-old female... I don't need to go to those mom's classes. I've been there, done that. Mine are raised, and I've got the grandchildren. But Paul says the old, male or female, should be teaching the young. Between services, Adrian and Brad and I were talking, and I sat down at the table, and they said, boy, Pastor, that sermon was for me. And then Adrian and Brad were arguing, saying, no, it was for me. Adrian says, no, it was for me. Brad says, no, it was for me. And I says, it's for us. Brad goes, no, it was for me. I said, cool, Brad, you own it. It's your deal. And we were just talking how that it's kind of interesting when you look at this dynamic of how that it takes time to lead people, doesn't it? And it takes time to impact people. You don't impact people on a one-shot deal. Usually then when that happens, you've just knocked them over. So you've impacted them, but it may not be lifelong. To impact people lifelong takes time. And it's interesting that, you know, in the natural, when somebody has retired from their labor, and what a great accomplishment to get there, where that person really doesn't, you know what, they really do have. And I think this has always been my belief that in churches there should be a huge, strong leadership component that are of an older age. Because first of all, they have more time to do that. But secondly, this is what I was talking with Brother Bierman. He says, there's fruit that I can bear now that I never could have when I was 30 years old. There's fruit that I can bear now that I couldn't when I was 40. But I can bear it now. And there's something that comes to the table of fruitfulness. If we could tap into it. There's something that comes to the table that, guys, you can't buy. It's called life experience. Amen? So, what does that mean, Pastor? Let's also blow out of our mind. First thing, let's blow out of the mind that pruning's positive, not negative. Secondly, let's blow out of our mind that the concept of retirement, just the vibe, the idea, the concept of that does not translate to the Christian walk. We're to be fruitful until the day we walk out of here. Amen? Well, yeah, but you know, okay, wait a minute, let's change that. I know that we grow older, and so I know that I won't be fruitful in sports to the degree that I was when I was 20. I understand that. But how many of you know there are other areas that I can be fruitful in that I could have never been fruitful in when I was 20 years old? I couldn't produce fruit in a parenting class when I was 20. I didn't have children. I wasn't even married when I was 20. Could have I read a book on parenting and digested the information? Absolutely. Could have I stood before people and talked about parenting, having that information as a 20-year-old? Yeah. Would have it been fruitful? Probably not. Do you know why? All somebody would have done is go, now do you have children? And guess what I'd had to say? Nope. So do you understand? Have you ever spent all night with a kid that was puking all night? No. How many of you know I couldn't have been fruitful in that area for the Lord? But I'll tell you what now. Well, last week, Karen Jensen. If you were here for that service, that was a great service, wasn't it? If it wasn't, if you weren't here, I encourage you to get that CD, okay? Because for sure, somebody would look at somebody like her, great lady, teaches at a Bible school. They could look at her and like, hey, well, you don't know what life is being hard. How many of you know all she has to talk about is what happened to her when she was 37 years old? And how many of you know that just puts that argument all, it shuts up that argument completely. It's like, yeah, I think I do know what hard times are like. Now I could stand up, talk about parenting girls. Got to give me a few years yet on the boy deal. Okay? Why? Oh, I got one that's 11, but I haven't gone through the teenage years yet. I haven't gone to where he's physically my size or bigger. If he grows into himself, he's supposed to be 6'5". I will always be smarter. Are you with me? So, I'll give it to folks that have parented men, young boys, all the way through high school. So, there's a part of me that can defer and go, okay, you know, the school's out yet. But you know what I can do? I can talk about raising girls all the way through. Different periods in their life. Right? I can talk about that from experience. And hopefully, we can look at our experience and go, okay, it might need to be adjusted according to the Word of God, because there's not a perfect parent in here, right? We can be fruitful to our old age, and we can bear different types of fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the Word of Truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.